Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
We're in this series that we've entitled Defeating Your Giants. Defeating Your Giants. And we're going to look at another process in this battle that you and I face. We've been talking about David and Goliath. We've been talking about the struggles that have to go on, the opposition that you face, the heart that you have to have, and dealing with certain issues of things. Today, what we're going to look at is this subject of being comfortable in God's timing. Being comfortable in God's timing. I think that most of our problems get created because we get impatient. We want things now. We want it to happen right away. We don't understand what God is doing. And I just want you to know, God's going to take longer than you think. You see, when we study the life of David, from the moment he was anointed to the time he actually became king, about 15 years pass. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think, hey, I've been anointed, I'm king now, right? And sometimes what you and I have to fight is sometimes we think after we deal with the giant that suddenly everything's going to be perfect then. That suddenly we'll have this giant out of the way and now life will go on and we'll all live happily ever after. But that's not what happens. So often we have to continue the fight and we have to continue going on because God's timing is not our timing. So how am I to be comfortable in God's timing? Well, the first thing is I have to understand something. God is working on my development. God is working on my development. God never stops working on you. Never. How many of you think that the person next to you is just perfect? It's only the men raising their hands right now. Way to go, guys. I gave you the chance. Way to take advantage of it. You're smart there. Way to be. Yeah. No, none of us are where we need to be, are we? Where there's this process of going up and of growing up, and God says, look, all throughout your life, I'm going to answer your prayer. And the prayer as a Christian is, God, would you make me more like you? And God says, yes, I'll do that. I'll help you be a better Christian. I'll help you be a better person. But you're going to have to go through some stuff because in order for that to happen, you have to grow. You have to grow in your endurance and you have to grow in your faith. And God says, I will just keep working on you. And when you study the Bible, what you see is that every person that God used, he put them through a time of testing, positive testing. Psalm 105, verse 19. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams. Remember, Joseph had the dream, I'm going to be this. Until that time came, the Lord tested Joseph's character. So he has the dream, I'm going to be the ruler. His brothers want to kill him. Instead, they sell him. He gets accused falsely of a crime. He spends years in jail before the dream ever happens. I want to just let you know that is often the way God works. Here's what I'm going to do. And we think, good, you're going to do it. I'm in. Let's go now. God says, no, we've got to rub off a few rough edges that you've got. You need to go through a little process here to get you stronger, to get you better, to help you grow up a little bit more. You know, when I was a kid, I thought, boy, I can't wait till I grow up. And now that I'm here, I can't wait till I grow up. It just seems like it's a never-ending process, doesn't it? And so God says, look, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to be working on you. And David killed Goliath, but God still worked at developing him into the man that would become king. We think we're ready now. God knows better, doesn't he? Well, God, look at all the stuff I've been through. Look at all that I've done. God says, I know, but we got a little more to go. So I have to be absolutely positive knowing God's working on me for my good. Philippians 1, verse 9. I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing. If you're not growing, you're dying. In knowledge, understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. That's what I want for you. I want you to keep on growing until the day of Christ's return so that you can live this kind of life up until that moment. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. So, if I'm going to be patient, if I'm going to understand God's timing and God's ways of working, I have to understand what God is doing is He's working on me, and I need a lot of working on. Right? Secondly, accept God's delay. When God gives you a dream, when God gives you something that you know, I know God wants this for me. I know this is what I want. I know this is where I need to go. God never, 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 how many more you want me to say? Allows it to happen instantly. It's never at that moment. It's where a lot of people really mess up. God says, I'm going to use you in this. You're a young person. You're here and God calls you to do something. You're 14, 15, 18 years old, 20, 30. I don't know. God says, I'm going to do this. We're ready to step right into it, aren't we? But God says, no, we got a little time here. I'm going to use you, but here's what I'm going to do in your life. But there will be a waiting period. There is always a delay where God is getting you ready for what He's planned for you to do. Again, we don't think we need to take much time because we believe I'm ready now. No, you're not. In raising kids, if you've cut grass, you mow the lawn, and you know your kid comes to you and he's 7, and says, I want to mow the grass. You're not ready. First of all, you can't even push this mower. So, you know, yeah, yes I am. Yes I am. I can do this. I can do this. No, no, no. You need to grow up. You need to be a little older. You need to be a little more mature. You got to understand all the cautions you need to take. No, I'm ready now. Now, I just wish they would have kept that attitude all the way through, but they just didn't, did they? But that's us, isn't it? I'm ready now. And God goes, no, no, you're not. You think you are, but you're not. You see, God promised Abraham and Sarai a child, but they had to wait 25 years before he was born. God promised Noah that he was going to bring a flood. It's almost 100 years before it happened. God made Jacob wait 14 years to get the wife that he wanted. Joseph had to wait a long time until he got his family and his father back. And you and I have been waiting 2,000 years for the Lord to return. God's promises are sure, but they're not as fast as we want them to be. And so I have to accept His delay. That means that I need to keep being faithful. Well, what do I do? God's told me He's going to do this. What do I do in the meantime? It's very simple. You keep doing what you're called to do. Last week we talked about being faithful in those small things, remember? You just keep being faithful in where you're at the moment. If you'll take care today, tomorrow will be fine. And the delay is not a fun time. It's a time where you get to grow up, when you get to mature. When David was running from Saul, when David was in the process of waiting to become king, he was still doing everything he can to fight for Israel. He didn't just sit back, strum on his harp, and say, I'm waiting for my moment. He kept being involved in life. He kept being involved in a process. And waiting is a part of the divine designs of things. Well, I don't have much more time. You have all the time you need for God to do what He wants to do with your life. Hebrews 10:35. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you'll continue to do God's will. Patiently endure so that you continue to do what God wants, and then you'll receive all that He has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I'll take no pleasure in any of those who turn away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. While you're waiting, you keep being faithful. While you're waiting, you keep doing the right thing. Waiting is not something where you're twiddling your thumbs, just biding time until it happens. Waiting is that time where you are connected and involved in life. You keep going on. You keep doing what you need to do. And God works in your life and helps you grow up and gives you time to mature. And it pleases God and it helps you. And we may not be able to do what we want to do, but we can do what God has given us to do. And too many people, this is what God wants in my life, I'm going for it. And they get ahead of God, and they end up a mess because they weren't willing to wait. Which leads to the next point of this whole thing that I want you to see is be faithful and don't force things. Wait for the door to open. Don't knock it down. Wait for God to do what He wants to do when He wants to do it. You don't have to kick it open. And when you have to force things, you're usually making a big mistake. When you get impatient, see, there's two things about God's will. One is knowing what it is. And the second one is knowing when it's to happen. I believe most Christians miss it on the when part. I believe a lot of people know what God wants to do. They're just not willing to wait for the when. They want, I know what I want, it's now. And I'll do this, and we get ahead, and we force things, and we just say, I got to do this. Well, God wants me to be faithful. God, come on, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do it. God, I want to do this. I'll quit my job, and I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to go do this. No. God says, wait, I'm not done. I'm not ready for you yet. You're not ready for it yet. And we just aren't happy with that, are we? We want it now. We think we know, well, I know God told me to do this. Great. If He told you to do it, He'll provide the way and the moment for you to do it. You don't have to make it happen. There's a part of David's story that is just incredible to me, where we see this put into place in our lives. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 7. David and Abishai went right into Saul's camp and found him asleep. This is why he's running from Saul and everything. Their camp, Saul's camp one way. David and his guy go there, and they find Saul. He's asleep. His spear is in the ground beside him, beside his head. And Abner and the soldiers were lying asleep around him, and his bodyguards were all there. They were all asleep. And God surely handed your enemy over to us this time, Abishai whispered. You know, here he is. Kill him, you're king. This is God. This is what God's doing. How many times have we thought it was God and really it was us? Yeah, you're going to be king. Not now. Let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't need to strike twice. Oh, you got to love that. You know, I can take his spear right now. Right there, we're done. He's done. Let's do this. Now, I want you to notice David's response. No, David said, don't kill him, for who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one. Now stop a moment. David is the Lord's anointed one. Right? He's been anointed. But here's the other anointed one. And David says, you know what? If I do that, I'm not innocent anymore. Now, we're not done. Notice, so he recognizes the authority structure. He recognizes, I don't need to make this happen. I don't need to usurp this guy here. And here's what he says. Surely, the Lord will strike Saul down someday, or he will die of old age in battle. If I'm the next king, I'm not waiting for some old geezer to die. It's my turn now. About a year old, get out of the way. Right? Come on. You know, what's he say? He could take it that moment. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. He says, maybe he'll die in battle. You know, maybe he'll do that. And maybe someday God will strike him. Or we'll wait until he dies. That could be years. And here's what I know about most of us. We're not willing to wait that long. Well, I don't want to waste my life. You are never wasting your life when you're waiting for God. Never. And David, the anointed king, looks at the other anointed king, has his moment to say, this is it. Got the spear right here. It's provided for me. One thrust, he's gone. I'm king. And instead he steps back and say, I'm not going to force this. I'm not going to make this happen. God will take care of this. And when Saul's time is done, God will take care of that moment. Do you trust God that much? Are you willing to keep being faithful while God's delaying, not doing what you want him to do, not doing what you know he wants to do, not knowing what you're made to do? Will you keep waiting and keep being faithful in the little things and keep being obedient to where you're at this moment? Keep doing what's right now? Or are you going to pick up the spear and throw it and now's my time? And how many times we have missed God because we picked up the spear and thrust it instead of waiting for God's moment. You know, he'll die one day. Whenever God says, I'll be okay with that. Boy, that's patience, isn't it? That's something we all need to learn, isn't it? Answer's yes, okay? Just so you know. The Lord forbid that I should kill the one he's anointed. God forbid that I take matters into my own hands. God forbid that I do what I want to do because I know I'm entitled to do it. God forbid that I force things and make them happen. God forbid that I run over people who may, I think, be in my way because this is what God wants for me. And so many people, Christians, have missed God because they've been impatient with God's timing. Because God is slow. Why? Because he's got so much work to do on us, doesn't he? Over and over again. Take his spear, the jug of water beside his head, and let's get out of here. Incredible, isn't it? Just an incredible story. And so you can't force things. You can't just make them happen. You have to wait. God knows. The God who called you is the God who will prepare you and the God who will open the doors for you. He doesn't need your help. He needs your obedience. He needs your trust. Don't get impatient. Don't try and make it happen. You can kill the giant. David has killed Goliath. He's still waiting. Don't resist God's delays. You won't understand them. But God has a plan. And God's ways are... perfect. It's the word you were looking for, I know. Secondly, fight discouragement. You see, while you're in that process, before God gives you what He really wants you to have, before God fulfills the promise to you, before, you know, everything fits into place, well, there's a time when you can really get discouraged because it isn't happening fast enough, or worse, you begin to think it's never going to happen. You begin to believe, well, I know God said this, and I know this is what God wants, and I really believe that, and I know what He wants me to do, and I don't understand why it's not happening now. And we get discouraged. Some of you have been praying for a loved one to come to the Lord for years. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Some of you have been dealing with financial issues and trying to get things back on track, and it doesn't seem to be going fast enough. Don't get discouraged. Some of you are in that job and you're wanting that position or that promotion, or you're wanting this to happen and that to happen, and you've been waiting and you've been faithful. Don't get discouraged. Some of you are dealing with pain. Don't get discouraged. God's faithful. And on this journey that we have of life, as we're doing what God wants us to do, there are two battles that you're going to fight that are the hardest battles in your life. One of them we've already talked about, impatience. You want it now. The other is discouragement. You want to give up. Because you see, when God says, I'm going to do this to you, what's He do? He brings conflict into your life, doesn't He? He brings people into your life who will challenge you to help you change and help you grow, and you don't want to do that because, after all, I'm right, you're wrong. He'll bring you to a place where you have to keep being faithful when you're done with this. I don't want this job anymore. I'm ready to go do something else. Well, God, I've waited this long and prayed this long. Come on. I deserve better than this. No, you don't. God says, we've still got a work to do in you. And you'll go through some things that you don't want to go through. And David ran for his life for years, as God prepared him to be the next king. And let's be honest, we never like that process. Never. Don't have to. We just have to keep being faithful, don't we? We keep waiting. We keep waiting for the return of the Lord. Don't get discouraged. It's going to happen. And so you and I have to battle discouragement. Sometimes the discouragement battle is bigger than any other battle we're facing. God, I don't understand why it's taking so long. God, I don't understand why you're not doing this. God, I don't see why I got to be doing this. David, God, why do I have to keep running from this Saul who's trying to kill me? God, why do I have to keep being like this and hiding out in caves and running for my life and looking over my shoulder all the time? God, how many years am I going to have to keep doing this? And how long do I have to keep being this way? And God says, I've got it. Just keep doing what you need to do day by day by day, and don't get discouraged. And I know as I say that, that's easily said than done, isn't it? David writes, oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Ever felt like God's forgotten you? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? That's a bad day, isn't it? We've all been there, though, haven't we? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Well, I'm asking the same question, if it be known. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And notice what he says, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. Wow. God will take care of me. God will get me there in his time, in his way. But we're good at determining our own way, aren't we? We're good at picking out our own time, aren't we? Rather than just, God, I'll be faithful where you have me. I'll just keep doing what you want me to do. And when the time is ready, I will be ready. When the giant shows up, I'm going to be ready to fight. And once I face the giant and deal with that, I'm going to be ready to keep going and keep being obedient to do what I know I need to do in order for you to use me, in order for you to provide for me, in order for you to do what you want to do in my life. And you're going to have to fight the discouragement battle. I'll guarantee you. That's just the way it works, isn't it? And we've all know that, don't we? We just do. And like David, it's what we say. Why am I this way? Okay, I am. But I'll put my hope in God. I'll praise him again. My Savior, my God. I'll trust him. Last one. Determine that it is worth the wait. Now, everyone knows, I think, that when it comes to food, the longer it takes to prepare, usually the better it is. Right? I mean, if you're hungry for a hamburger, you can go through the drive-thru up here at McDonald's. Have it in a moment, right? Or you can go farther down the street and go to this place called Five Guys. Oh, baby. Some of the best, I mean, get it loaded too. You know, put some hot sauce on that puppy, and you know, and you can sit there and watch him sear it in the background and cook it and throw it. Oh, man. Now, I don't know about you, but that burger from Five Guys tastes a little better than that burger from McDonald's, right? And I don't think there's anybody who's ever said, you know, I want a really good meal. I think I'll find something for the microwave. No, no, no. The good stuff comes out of a crock pot. Oh, man. You know, Publix had a sale on ribs this past week, and I put some in a crock pot, let them simmer all day. Okay, good morning, I'm gone. You know, you just know that it just takes longer. The longer it takes, usually, the better it is. And if you want something bad enough, you're willing to wait for it. Wait for it. Because you know it's going to be worth the wait. And you see, what happens is in our life too many times, we want the instant. Put it in the microwave. Let me go through the drive-thru. Let me have it now. I just want something this moment. And God says, look, if you do that, you're going to miss out on what is best for you in your life. And if you get in a hurry, your life isn't going to be what it could be if you'll just wait, if you'll just keep being faithful. You can almost always plan on the fact that God will make you wait for what's best. And while you're waiting for what's best, now please hear me, while you're waiting for what's best, Satan is going to offer you a shortcut that will be maybe good. You know, Abram and Sarai, God says, I'm going to give you a son. They didn't wait. They said, well, let's do it this way. Let's take the handmaid, which was perfectly legal. There was nothing wrong with what they were doing. It was done all the time. That was the culture of the day and time. But it wasn't God's best, was it? And there was conflict because of that. How many times have we created more conflict in our life because God had something best for us and we settled just for what was good? And we found out the good things, this famous quote, the good things in life are the enemies of the best. And we settle. We think we're making it happen. We think it's going to be what we wanted. We think this is going to be how it was supposed to be. God is seldom quick. But when God's plan is for you to wait, please hear me, when God's plan is for you to wait, He will make it worth the wait. It's always worth the wait. You and I are waiting for heaven. It's going to be worth the wait. Amen. We have to be convinced of that, don't we? That if I will do what God wants me to do, it will be worth the wait. And see, I don't think some people believe that. Well, if I wait, then I'm not going to get everything I need, and I'm getting older, and I can't wait it much longer, and this has gone on too long, and I can't do it. No, no, no. It'll be worth the wait. Proverbs 23, don't envy sinners, but always continue to fear the Lord. You will be rewarded for this, and your hope will not be disappointed. Wow. Hope's a great commodity in this world in which we live. Your hope will not be disappointed. In other words, make the dream the biggest you want to make it. It's going to be bigger than that. It's going to be much more than you can ever imagine. Romans 5:3. We can rejoice when we run into problems. Oh, yeah. And trials, for we know they help us develop endurance. Endurance develops strength of character. And here's this process we've been talking about. Character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. That's a promise from God's word. Put it in the bank. That was a good time for the amen right there. You know, it will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, for He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. God loves us. You will not be disappointed. So, being comfortable with God's timing, it's hard. It's really tough. But God's time is not our time. For God knows time better than us. He knows the beginning and the end of things. He knows where things need to go and how they need to go. And we unfortunately get caught up in our culture and we get everything fast and now and at once. And we are not good at waiting. Allowing God to build character, allowing God to delay even when we think we're ready for it now, that we keep being faithful even in the midst of all the difficulty and we don't get discouraged and we don't give up because we know that if we will do what God wants us to do in God's timing, it will be worth it all. And you have to be convinced of that. Because if you don't, you're going to pick up the spear and you're going to end it now. And you're going to take over. And if you do that, you will regret that moment. So what are you having trouble waiting for? What is it that you've been praying to God about and it's not happening? Or what is it that God has showed you, this is what He wants to do in your life, and you're struggling with the patience to wait for Him to do what He needs to do and struggling with what God's trying to do in your life right now. What is it that you're going through at this moment? Because God has what's best for you. It's just not going to happen as fast as you want it to. And are you willing to keep being faithful until He accomplishes what He wants to accomplish in your life? That's a great question, isn't it? So I'm going to ask you to take a moment right now. Here I am. God, here's what I'm struggling with. You know it. We've dealt with this before. God, help me. Maybe some of you are discouraged today. God, help me put my trust in You and to know that You're faithful. I'll praise You. Just take a moment.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.